Good morning. At the conclusion of last week's lesson, we stated that whatever the apostles commanded was a command of God and the Holy Spirit. Whatever the apostles enjoined upon their hearers and readers was to be obeyed, and such was obedience not to the words of men, but to the words of God. In our lesson today, we'll examine a passage that sums up all of these teachings, and then we'll study the necessary elements required in order to be born again. We will see how it is that we are born again when we, in humble obedience, are baptized in harmony with the commands of Christ as given to and through the apostles. To do so, we will turn our attention to a single passage of Scripture that encompasses much of what we've said thus far. 1 Peter 1:22 and 25 is the Scripture we want to look at. It reads, "Since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, through the word of God which lives and abides forever, because all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers, and its flower falls away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Now this is the word which by the gospel was preached to you." This passage gathers together in just four verses what we have been showing all along in this series of lessons. From it we learn, 1, souls are saved through obedience to the truth. The message of the gospel is taught by the apostles. 2, that the truth must be obeyed through the Spirit, which entails realizing that the message came by the Spirit. When one obeys the message as it was preached by the apostles, he obeys the Spirit. 3, that through obedience to the message of truth, which comes through the Spirit, one is born again. And then 4, that this new birth does not refer to some mystical experience. This is clear when it is claimed to be a birth through the Word of God. This simply repeats a simple premise mentioned before. Our obedience is to the truth. That truth came through the Spirit as it was preached by the apostles. That truth through the Spirit is the Word of God. Thus, when we obey God's word, we are born again, and that of the Spirit. The significance of 1 Peter 1, 22-25 is tremendous when we consider what Jesus told Nicodemus in John 3. Jesus told Nicodemus that in order to see or enter the kingdom of heaven, he must be born of water and of the Spirit. He must be born again. 1 Peter 1, 22-25 explains for us how it is that such takes place. It teaches us that there exists a number of special relationships between the purification of the soul, salvation, obedience to the truth and to the Spirit, the act of being born again, and the Word of God, the Gospel. In order to explain those relationships in 1 Peter 1, we will examine these principles and practices as they relate to each other. First of all, purification of the soul. What occurs when we are saved and our sins are forgiven? Well, purification of the soul occurs when the truth is obeyed. This simply means that obedience to God's word, His truth, is essential in order to be saved. The truth is obeyed through the Spirit. That is to say that the truth is the teaching of the Spirit as it is given through the word of God as spoken and later written by the inspired men. Purification occurs when one is born again, and that by the word of God. This process of being born again brings salvation. Then 2, it talks about obeying the truth. Obedience to the truth is what causes our souls to be purified. This is simply to say that our souls are purified, cleansed, when we obey the truth, and that our souls cannot be cleansed or purified without obedience to the truth. In this regard, note the teaching of Hebrews 5:8 and 9, which states that Jesus became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. The necessity of obedience to the Word of God is found throughout Jesus' teachings. In Matthew 7:21 and following, He emphasized the need to do the will of the Father. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Luke 10:25 and following, He said, "Do this and you will live," verse 28. Perhaps the most significant passage that sums up the principle of obedience is John 14:15. There Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." John further taught that the one who does not keep his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoever keeps his word, truly the love of God is perfected in him. By this we know that we are in him. He who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. 1 John 2:4-6. These passages and many others indicate the need for obedience to the word of God. Obeying the truth is equivalent to obeying the Spirit, because the truth is revealed through the Spirit. John 14:25-26, John 15:26, and John 16:13 and following. Obeying the truth is the same as obeying the incorruptible Word of God, the Gospel. In John 17:17, Jesus said in his prayer to the Father, "Sanctify them by thy word, for thy word is truth." This simply indicates that the word of God is truth. Psalm 33:4, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his works are done in truth." Then in Psalms 119:160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." If the Spirit is a spirit of truth, John 14:17 and John 15:26, and if the Word of God as it came through the apostles was spoken and written through the influence of the Holy Spirit, 2 Peter 1:20-22, then that Word must be truth. Then number 3, it talks about the process of being born again. Being born again results in the purification of the soul, forgiveness of sins. One cannot enter the kingdom, obtain salvation, without being born again. The new birth occurs when truth is obeyed. Truth is preached, believed, and acted upon in order to be born again. Obedience to the truth is also the same as obedience to the Spirit, for the message of God, the truth, comes through the Holy Spirit. The incorruptible Word of God, the Gospel, is a seed that begets us. Then Peter speaks of the incorruptible seed, the Word of God, the Gospel. The incorruptible seed, the Word of God, and the Gospel are all synonymous. They are terms that indicate the source and cause of belief. Luke 8:11, in the midst of the parable of the soils, tells us that the seed in that parable represents the Word of God. It is the Word of God that must get to the noble and good heart, Luke 8:15, and cause fruit to be produced. The Word of God is truth and must be obeyed. 2 Thessalonians 1:7-9 tells us that Jesus will bring judgment against those who do not obey the Gospel. The Gospel is not for hearing only, it is for doing too. In the same way, John speaks of doing that is obeying truth, 1 John 1:6. When the Word of God is fully obeyed, one obeys and is born again of the Spirit. Then he speaks of the Gospel that was preached. It is through the preaching of the Gospel that belief is created in the hearts and minds of its hearers. This is plainly taught in Romans 10:17, where Paul says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God." It is through the preaching of the Gospel that we learn that faith is to be active and obedient. Romans 1:5, "By whom we have received the grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name." In chapter 16 of Romans, verse 25-26, Paul says, "Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel, and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith." It is through the preaching of the gospel that we are begotten, or born of, the truth and of the Holy Spirit. Now let's summarize. 1 Peter 1:22-25 demonstrates the relationship between the purification of the soul, obedience to the truth and to the Spirit, the act of being born again, and the Word of God, the Gospel, in this fashion. Number 1, the Word of God, the Gospel, is preached. Number 2, it has the ability to create faith in the minds of its hearers. Number 3, that faith can be obedient to the truth taught. Number 4, the process of obeying the truth, the faith, yields to following the commands of the teacher, which leads to being born again of both Spirit and truth, which results in the purification of the soul, or salvation. In order to further demonstrate that we are begotten, or born of the Spirit through the truth, and not the Spirit without the truth, consider the following scriptures. "For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus I have begotten you through the gospel." 1 Corinthians 4:15. Now Paul says this because he, through the preaching of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15:1-4, was responsible for the conversion of many of the Christians in Corinth. "I appeal to you for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten while in my chains." Philemon 10. Paul, in writing to Philemon about his runaway slave Onesimus, encouraged Philemon to accept Onesimus as a brother in Christ. For while in prison, Paul taught him and led him to Christ. "Whosoever believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone who loves him who begot also loves him who is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. 1 John chapter 5, verse 1 and 2. John teaches us that those who believe Jesus are born of God. But that belief is not just in the mind, for he also says that those who love God keep his word, or his commandments. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope, through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. 1 Peter 1, verse 3. Here, Peter teaches that it is through the resurrection of Christ that we are begotten or born again. We will note in our next lesson how it is that through baptism into Christ we are resurrected to walk in newness of life. Today we've taken the time to examine one passage, 1 Peter 1, 22-25, in order to show that it sums up the principles that we have already examined. Then we'll go on to study the final step of the new birth, baptism, and note specific examples of people being born again, thus becoming Christians in response to the teaching of God's Word. If you have any questions about today's program, would you please let us know? And until next week, may God bless and keep you.